Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call in respect of inter alia, the unaudited financial results for the quarter ended on December 31st, 2025, hosted by GE Power India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Puneet Bhatla, Managing Director of GE Power India Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Dear investors, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for joining today's call to discuss GE Power India Limited's performance for the third quarter and the nine months ended December 2025. I am joined today by our CFO and Deputy CD, Mr. Ashish Rai, to update you on our financial performance across the business and to address any queries you may have. We trust that you have had the opportunity to review our financial results and the investor presentations, which have been made available on our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Would like to touch upon quickly a brief context on the broader macroeconomic and the sectoral environment into which we continue to operate before moving to the highlights of our quarterly performance. Against challenging backdrop of global economy, India's macroeconomic fundamentals remain resilient. As per the Economic Survey 2025-2026, real GDP growth for 2026 is projected at around 7.4%, supported by broad-based demand, improving rural consumption, and strengthening industrial activities. This momentum is expected to continue into FY27, with real GDP growth projected in the range of 6.8% to 7.2%. Inflation pressures have moderated to 1.7%, and monetary conditions remain supportive amid easing policy rates. These trends, coupled with robust capital expenditure, provide a constructive backdrop for investment in infrastructure and energy sectors, including power. The government signaled continued strategic support for energy and related sectors, which underscores a balanced energy outlook for India, ensuring reliable baseload supply while progressively scaling renewables and cleaner technologies. Recent policy developments further reinforce this balanced approach to India's evolving energy landscape. In the Union Budget for FY27 presented in February 2026, in parallel, the Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate revised the notification limiting FGD installation to about 30 gigawatts of India's thermal power station by December 2027 and December 2028 progressively, while taking Category C about 70 gigawatts out of the scope of the policy. Your company is watching this very carefully as how does the market momentum of the new order builds up on this segment in the coming months, while the market is also witnessing determination of few awarded orders as we move ahead. Your company has played and continue to play a critical role in delivering reliable, affordable electricity to communities, accompanying our customers in their energy transition endeavors. In the third quarter ended December 2025, within 9 months, the interventions done by your company to keep the electricity reliable, affordable, and sustainable goes to the tune of 14 gigawatts of assets. Very happy to state this work has been essentially to lifting the quality of the life of the million of people. We are proud of this mission and the impact it has had. Now, turning towards our business performance of this quarter, I am pleased to share that the strategic reset undertaken over past few years continue to translate into sustained operational and financial progress as we approach the end of FY2026. Revenue remains resilient and losses have continued to narrow, and the profitability across the core service portfolio has improved sequentially, providing clear momentum as we progress on. Our deliberate shift towards the high margin, shorter cash cycle and lower working capital intensive opportunities, alongside a calibrated scaling back from long gestation projects, has further strengthened the business stability over the period, as you will see it in the results. The success of such typical business comes from the operational excellence with better and all-rounded project management, along with the consistent order intake. Core order, the backbone, has risen by 21% from December 2024, along with the revenue for the same period witnessed 4% upside. Execution discipline and operational excellence have continued to drive meaningful margin expansion across our core services and business upgrades. Our sustained focus on strengthening capabilities and the product offerings for both JPIL and non-JPIL thermal assets basis has translated into healthy and consistent order inflow during the year for core. This quarter, your company has booked about 53% from non-JPIL assets in the overall core services order. As of December 2025, company's order book stands at 1,671 crores, providing visibility to close to around 2 years of execution from the continuing operations. As already informed last quarter, we also have made important progress in strengthening the balance sheet. Legacy receivables, including BHL outstanding, have progressed into structured settlement and collection phases during this quarter. Team has successfully conducted record 11 PG tests during last 9 months. The strategic demerger of Durgapur facility to JSW Energy effective July 1st, 2025, as shared in the last quarter, is moving with the correct pace and direction. This transaction will streamline our portfolio, reduce fixed cost exposure, and sharpen our focus on asset-light, service-led opportunities while ensuring continuity of the supply and the services support for the customer through appropriate commercial agreements. As a result of disciplined cash management and portfolio realization, our standalone net worth, 378 crores, remains significantly stronger as of December 2025, reflecting the benefit of these strategic actions and improving working capital discipline. We are moving into the end of 2026 with a sharp focus on financial prudence and stronger operational discipline. With focused portfolio, improving margins, and a healthy order book, we are very well positioned. I will now hand over to Ashish, who will walk you through the financial performance in much greater detail. Over to you, Ashish.
Thank you, Puneet. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking time to join today's earnings call. I would like to build on the commercial updates, which Puneet has just shared, and share few insights on the financial performance of the quarter. Starting with commercial updates, during the current quarter, your company secured orders worth 141 crores, compared to 461 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. Now, while prima facie, this is a steep quarter-on-quarter decline. However, the prior year's figure included a single significant order for Vindhyachal turbine upgrade, valued at rupees 348 crores. Notably, your company's pivot to margin and cash accretive core services business is on the right track, with orders increasing from 112 crores in December 2024 to 136 crores in December 2025. This marks a 21% quarter-over-quarter increase. Core services is poised to build on its momentum and deliver double-digit year-over-year growth again in this year. As of December 31st, 2025, your company has an order backlog of rupees 1,671 crores, which is down from 2,662 crores as of March 31st, 2025. This reduction is driven by termination of two FGDEP contracts, JPVL Bina and Negri, which collectively is rupees 775 crores worth. Coming to the financial performance now, revenue for the quarter ended December 2025 stood at rupees 386 crores, driven by core services, up from 317 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, marking a 22% increase again. Profit before tax and exceptional items from the continuing operations of the business for this quarter stood at rupees 131 crores. This is a significant increase when you compare with rupees 23 crores in the quarter ended 31st December 2024. This reflects sustained efforts in improving the operating performance of the company. This cheap quarter-on-quarter profitability increase is also complemented by certain one-off items, like reversal of ECL provision for the BHL collections that we have done in the quarter, amounting to 37 crores. Sholapur extension of time received and LD settlement done and provision reversal of 22 crores, and JP, Bina and Negri full and final settlement with 25 crores of positive impact. I would also like to update our investors that pursuant to the settlement agreement with BHL signed earlier this year, we as on reporting date have received ₹2,216 crores year to date. Additionally, during the current quarter, we received ₹25 crores from JP as full and final settlement. With this, the settlement with JP has been successfully concluded and both parties stand fully discharged with no further obligation outstanding on these two projects. Following the notification of new labor codes, we have recorded a provision of ₹42 crores, including ₹15 crores for discontinued operations, based on the draft rule issued by Ministry of Labor and Employment. Given it is regulatory driven and non-recurring in nature, this has been classified as an exceptional item in the financials. We continue to closely monitor further regulatory developments and will assess any incremental impact if applicable. Your company has taken few critical steps in the last 9 months, such as signing of settlements with BHEL and JP, plus filing of demerger transaction for Durgapur with JHWNLC. These actions are decisive and reflect our commitment to continue to reduce financial exposure, optimize operational costs, and march towards sustained profitability at the back of core services business, and maintain the disciplined execution at sites. And this quarter's performance is another testament to this effectiveness of the strategy. Despite the challenges posed by the limitations on FGD installations, we have managed to maintain a solid financial footing from operations. Our ability to secure key core orders and a healthy backlog position us well for the year ahead. Before I open the forum for Q&A, I humbly want to convey to you all that as management, we remain fully committed to drive sustainable growth in strategic areas like core services, focusing on generating consistent profits and cash flow. We have made a lot of ground in this journey of financial turnaround of your company. But as I always say, this is a marathon and we are taking one quarter at a time. Thank you for joining once again, and I now open the forum for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Akash Jain from Money Curves Analytics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. I'm a little new to the company, so some of the questions may be quite basic in nature, so apologize upfront for that. So, sir, there have been a lot of one-offs, right? Even in this quarter, we have seen settlements and insurance claims, etc. Plus, obviously, a lot of cost on the exceptional items as well. So, if I just want to understand, what is the long-term sustainable EBITDA margin for the core business? How should we look at it from an ongoing perspective for the services business that we are focusing now? What is the sustainable EBITDA margins? That is the first question. The second question is also regarding the overall TAM of the business, sir, because is my understanding correct that primarily we will be doing repairs and maintenance and spare parts, etc. for equipments which are installed by GE in the past and also in the future? Or are we also doing contracts for other manufacturers as well? So can you give us a little bit of a sense of the TAM, growth opportunities for the business, etc.? That will be my second question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for this. So first, on your bigger part of the question, I would put a request. Ashish, if you can take the first part and then probably I can take the TAM portion.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Jain, and welcome to the first investor call that you are attending. So on your first question, yes, you are right. There are a lot of
there are certain one-off which I have already highlighted the key ones. On the sustainable basis, our target and endeavor for this and future years is to deliver a double-digit EBITDA for the business, right? And I think we are on track on the normalized basis, I'm saying, excluding the one-offs that I mentioned. We are on track for that in this year, and the target remains to deliver, 10% plus EBITDA on year-over-year basis. On your second point, which is on the target market that we serve, Puneet, if you can just jump to that.
So thanks for joining this call, but probably I think I will start, I'll just put a little bit of an addition to what Ashish has said. We have taken a turnaround of our strategy last year, wherein we started focusing more towards the shorter cash cycles, cash accretives, lower capital investment projects. With that, we were also focused on getting into our backlogs executed as disciplined as possible. So what you are seeing as one-off as part and parcel of the execution business of a project execution business, which keeps on coming over the course of the part, over the course of the project execution. So yes, you are right. They are one-off, but they are not like that. They are something very unique for a project business. Second thing, at that point of a time, the strategy was more, which we have created and which has actually started giving a lot of results back, which we are all witnessing now. Now, that we wanted to actually get into the services of the installed base. And today, India's installed base is, which is more or less the target market for us, would be about 2,500 crores or something like that, which comprises of the assets which are both JPL assets as well as non-JPL assets. And we are progressing quite strongly into the non-JPL assets also, as I mentioned in my starting speech, that we have seen 53% of the orders which are coming to us from the non-JPL assets. So it's this strategy is giving us the returns, and I would like to answer it in this way. In case you have anything else, probably do ask us.
I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much for your answer.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Tushar Bhavsar from Cognizance 4D. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the exceptional numbers, sir. Okay, can you guys hear me clearly?
Yes.
Yeah. So I have a couple questions. One is, are we deliberately getting out of low margin contracts, as seen from the decline in the back orders and anticipating higher margin orders? When I go through the details, I see that we are installing the digital control systems and mechanical upgrades that allows companies like NTPC and State Trans to operate at differential loads at 40% or lower, those kinds of systems which are pretty, I would say, difficult for other companies. That's one of the questions.
Okay. Tushar, anything else before I answer you or answer your first question? Maybe if you can put the second question also, then probably I think we can take it all together.
Yeah, sure. It's a different question, right? Will GVPIL benefit from the $165 million order for the nuclear from the GE steam and bail by getting the maintenance contract in the later years, or how that impacts our approach to the nuclear?
So Tushar, let me take both the things together. I'll first take that nuclear one first for you. The nuclear sector for us on the servicing or the O&M contracts is out of the domain of JPL or GE Power India Limited. So that's not what we are, that's not the area what we are looking at, and what the number what we have talked about a little bit before, about 2,500 crores or something, that doesn't include nuclear. So that's the first part of the question. Second part of the question was with respect to the installed base. So when we are talking of the installed base, yes, there would be few areas wherein As I said to Mr. Jain also beforehand, we have changed our strategy where we want to really focus on to the low cycle, high margin deals because of a very conscious decision which we have taken last year, where we do not want to risk into the long projections or long gestation projects, which are basically cash destroying. So yes, we would be putting our big efforts towards the continuous services business. But that having said this thing, we are changing our strategy from the EPC to the EP side, which is only the equipment supplier. So yes, with this, I would like to rest my answer. In case you have any questions, do let us know. And I think you also had a flexible flexibility aspect of the Indian grid, which is asking the plants to work. So we have got a capability and we are working with our customers wherein we can give the solutioning, the technical solution, and we can work together. So far, nothing has come up at this point of time wherein the beyond design conditions have to be achieved at this point of time because the plants have to achieve only the design conditions. So this would be the last part of the answer to your question.
Okay, so we don't have any plans for the non-renewable, like, you know, nuclear ever, as of now. No plans.
No plans for now, Mr. Tushar. Never say never, but no, it is not a part of the strategy. And
not at this point of time.
And I was just going to refer to that also to kind of complement to what Puneet said on your deliberately coming out of, you know, these projects. So we launched a strategy 7 quarters back. Getting into nuclear was not part of it. It is not part of it, part of the strategy today as well. That's one. Two, whatever we had already booked, right? This is the new orders or commercial strategy for the company. But whatever we have booked, we continue to complete those projects. So there is no deliberate attempt of coming out of any project which is booked by Jabil. It got triggered from the announcement or notifications from the ministry. And many customers, including JP, were exploring their options for the Category B and Category C plants. And we have now amicably, I'm glad that we have amicably settled that decision or that dispute with JP, because JP is not only a customer for these two projects, JP is a customer for services projects as well. So it is important to continue to have a good relation with the customer. So it was not, there is no deliberate attempt to kind of come out of any contract. Whatever we have booked, we continue to serve our customers to the best of our ability. But yes, from a commercial standpoint, we launched the strategy 7 quarters back and we stick to it. There is no change in that strategy. And core services is the center pillar of that strategy and we continue to focus on that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sanjay Kohli from Goldstone Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sanjay, can you use your handset mode, please? Sanjay, I'm sorry, your audio is not very clear.
I'm using the handphone. Can you hear me? Hello?
It is better now. Please go ahead.
Because my audio also is very, very bad, the audio throughout this call so far. It's been, and not particular to this call, it's, I don't know, through this conference center, but only restricted to this call. Could you make the adjustments, please?
So the audio is clear for us. Yeah.
Mr. Kohli, we can hear you well.
I'll ask the question. I can't hear you well, but I'll ask the question. There are a couple of, these one-time numbers in this quarter, JP, Bina, Solapur, LD, Aveva, and we've taken these in the top line, and this is in the normal course. I mean, I'm just trying to grapple with the fact, on how this accounting works and how you are sort of synchronizing your contract conditions with the accounting revenue recognition as per accounting requirements. So we can also let us know what the expenses are against. So if we were to total up this JPB, 25 and 22 and 37, this is page 8 of your presentation. This amounts to 84 crores. What are the expenses we booked against this during the quarter?
Sure. Are you able to hear us? I mean, I'm going to respond.
Yeah. It's better, a lot better.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Kohli. There were three parts of the question. Number one, it is absolutely in accordance with the accounting policies that the company follows. Of course, it is duly verified, validated quarter over quarter. So in terms of revenue recognition principles laid down by the in the accounting standard, this is in line with that. All these three, right? The first two, which is JP and Sholapur, flow from the top line, and the last BHL is not a top line item. It is more of a reversal of cost item. Yes, totality these numbers are 84 crores, the three significant items that I spoke about. In this quarter, there is almost nil expenditure on these three tickets, because if you go back to the previous quarter, just September quarter itself, we recorded an expense of 25 crores on GP, and we put a note in the financials and also in the investors call. We clarified that we are in discussion with the customer, however there is no settlement which is achieved so far. In the event we are done with all the obligations under the settlement and the settlement comes effective, in that case we will be having a P&L gain in the next quarter, but the obligation was still not done by the time. So the expense was recorded in the previous quarter. The gain is now, since we have fully discharged our obligations, we are recording that revenue in this quarter, 25 CR. Likewise, the other two are an outcome of either a settlement achieved or in line with the accounting policy that we follow, there is a provision reversal. So you can take that almost nil cost is recorded against these three tickets in the quarter, and all three goes directly to the bottom line.
So 37 comes in the goes towards improving the margins. It doesn't add to the top line. It reduces the expenditure.
The 37, yes, you are right.
Okay. My other question pertains to any near-term FGD catalyst orders that we can look forward to.
So, what we have been seeing post the government notification, there is no ordering which has taken place so far on the FGDs. And just to remind ourselves that about C categories were already out of the notification, which amounted to be about 70 gigawatts or so. And today, for category A, which are left behind, they are at about 8 gigawatts or so, and 2 gigawatts are under tendering possession, but so far the progress has been very, very slow and no ordering done so far after the notification.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure management is able to answer queries from all participants, kindly restrict your question to one at a time. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cents. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, my question is, what percentage of revenue will come from our core services over the next 2 years? And how does margin differ between services and the EPC work?
Ashish, would you like to? Sure. So I will for the next 2 years, since you have given a time frame here, next 2 years, volume mix would be something like this, that I expect around 60% coming from core services. But post 2 years, which is like, I would call it like a more stable, because we have these two big turbine upgrade orders in the backlog today, which would get executed in the next 2 years. And hence you have lower core services and a lot of upgrade also coming in the next 2 years. But sustainably, I would say the 60% in the next 2 years will grow and would go up to 80%, post 2 years. So 80-20 sustainably would be the volume mix, is our expectation, to answer you, Mr. Mehul, right, on the volume mix. We do not give segment profitability or margin. But what I can tell you is that the gross margins the weighted gross margins, we expect a good 30% plus gross margin number, and effectively an EBITDA of 10% plus is what we are expecting going forward. But yeah, we can't give you segment margin at this point.
Sir, what revenue visibility do we have for FY27 based on the executable order book?
Again, we don't, I think you have been a part, we don't give future statements, but at least I can give you a range that we expect in the range where we are in this year, plus minus 5%. So we will be for the next year and the year after, we expect a plus 5-8% kind of a compounded growth in the top line.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Yes.
Sure.
Next question is from the line of Nikhil from Toro Wealth Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
So, sir, congratulations on what probably the numbers and the turnaround that we are seeing, which you had actually discussed even in the AGM. So, sir, just wanted to understand, if we exclude the one-offs, the operational level profitability is around 12% already, like around 46 crores of maybe an operational profitability. So, we've been focused on telling 10% plus. So, is it fair to assume that this is probably a base level margins that probably will be there and maybe going forward? And I'll come to the second question, or probably you'll be answering this first.
Sure. I missed your name again.
Nikhil. Yeah.
Nikhil, okay. Thanks, Nikhil, for that question. I mean, really good question, I must say. And I'm glad that you have gone through the financial and analyzed it well. So yes, firstly, for this quarter, yes, your the normalized margins that you're talking about of profitability are in that range. So in terms of the 9 months so far, I am calling it a 10% normalized EBITDA so far, not 12%. So one. And second, to your point, if this the base, like I said, we are on track to deliver 10% plus in this year. And but at the same time, we continue to optimize our cost and we continue to focus on pricing. We have had very good success in the OEM or G or Japan owned machinery or G owned machinery as well in this year, which helps in the margins, right? So we continue to focus there. And we would definitely aim to maximize that EBITDA levels. But as a let's say call out, we stick to 10% plus for next year and years to come. But we are on track for 10% this year.
Got it. Understood. So also on the just following on to the earlier question, you just said 5-8% growth. Isn't it too conservative, or you being more cautious and like in calling out the numbers, or you don't want to specifically call
yeah,
out
no,
what product?
No, it's not conservative, Nikhil. It's like there are two elements. See, we are going on core, and we, like I said, there are turbine upgrades which we would see significant execution in 26-27. So that's where our top line growth would majorly come from these two things, and I'm confident that would come. However, there is another element that we are not focusing on commercial efforts on the greenfield side. That is not a part of the commercial strategy, which means that the volume coming from the greenfield project or the EPC business would keep shrinking. So there is an element of growth on the services side, but at the same time, a compensating decline on the new build side also. So keeping both in mind, I still believe we will be having a growth trajectory in terms of the revenue numbers. But I've kept the decline of the new build also in mind when I gave that 5-8% figure. And I don't think it's
going
to be yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I have one more question. Can I ask that?
Please join back the queue. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aman Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening team. So my question is, we said India's installed base for core service business is 2500 crores. If I see that's on an annual basis, and if we see our 9-month order wins, would it mean that we have a market share of 25-30% in core service currently?
Yes, this is inclusive of our own assets as well as our the non-JPL assets.
Okay. Who are the other competitors in the core service business, and what is the reason? Like, our other OEM business has grown quite well over successive years. So, what are the key elements that has allowed us to gain so much?
So maybe, Aman, I think there was a little bit of a disconnect on in the voice. So probably just come up again with your question, the last one.
Okay, sorry. So I was saying there has been very good growth in the other OEM business, in the core service. What has allowed us to grow so well for a couple of years in that business? And who are the competitors we are competing with in that segment?
Okay. So I'll give you those pieces of information, but just to give you a little bit of a more clarification of 2500 crores and the 25% market share, this is with respect to our target market. I'm not talking about the complete India install base stuff, because we would like to get into our own fleet as well as our those targeted fleets which we would like to venture upon. And this is our very, very well-calculated strategy, and the capability metrics which we have been working on it over last few years, wherein we have developed the capability to serve the non-JPL assets, and we are focusing only on those assets which are geometrically similar, so that our efforts and our costs are well restrained and constrained. Today, we are looking at the Chinese base, as well as few Indian manufacturers also, and a substantial amount of the NPI, which we call it as a new product introduction efforts, have been getting along onto these activities, so that we get into the capability of serving the non-JPL assets.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take our next question from the line of Tejas, a private investor. Participants are restricted to one question at a time, please. Thank you. Tejas, please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions are answered. I just had one question regarding the EBITDA margin. Like you mentioned that currently our core is around 12% this quarter, and you're saying we're looking at double digit plus. So can you give us a range? Are we looking at 10% to 20%, 10 to 15%? Is that some kind of range that you can share with us, please, sir?
Sorry, at first, just a correction. I didn't say 10% is for core. I said that's for company. So the numbers which were being discussed was for JPL as a company, not just core.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I meant is removing the other income part. It's about like 32%
yes,
overall.
The normalized one.
Correct. Correct.
That's right. And but sorry, we can't give you a range or beyond 10% plus. That is what we have been maintaining, that it would be more than 10% is the endeavor, is the target. We are on track for this year, and we have a good pipeline for the following year as well. But I would not be able to give you a range or a certain number beyond that.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Smith Shah from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Can you call out the exact revenues and the EBITDA margins excluding the one-offs? Because if I calculate it, it comes to somewhere around 13.6% as the EBITDA margin. So can you call out without all the one-offs the exact number?
Yeah. So actually, everyone has their own way. So I'm sure for me, for the quarter, I would say the 84th year is the primary, which we just highlighted in our presentation also, are the primary one-offs, right? But important to know that the 2 out of 10, 25 and 22, are a part of revenue, and 137 are part of the cost. So we have to take that also into account. Now, considering all of this, I'm saying that for the quarter, yes, it is in the range of around 14.5% for me, the way I calculate. The 10% EBITDA, which I was telling, is for 9 months, not just for the quarter. So for the quarter, yes, it's around 14.5%, and for 9 months, it's around 10%.
Okay, got it. And can you give us a breakup of the current order book, which is somewhere around 1,671 crores right now? Can you give the breakup of this in terms of the core services and the upgrades which are there?
Sure, you mean the backlog, not order, but orders in hand, right?
Yeah, right.
Yes, for sure. So we have 1,671 crores worth of orders in hand as on 31st December. In this, consider around 450 crores from the EPC side or the new build side, and the balance is from the services business, including the FGO and MOP charges. So that's the split between the services business and the new build business.
Thank you.
Got it. And
Smith, I request you to join back the queue, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So you said that 2,500 crore is the target market in India. And out of that, how much is your legacy GE assets and how much is non-GE assets? And apart from that, you have some opportunity in the international market. What could be the market size in that? This is the one question. And second thing, this 2,500 crore, which is the market size, is doing to expand this?
So, Sunilji, the market, which is our own installed base, is about 500 crores or so, not more than that. Rest of them are non-JEPIC in the Indian segment of the Indian market. Now, getting into the expansion side of it, the expansion side of this market, because the new installed base will be coming, we are very selective on selecting the target fleet onto which we would like to work, which has got various parameters, various commercial parameters and the return parameters. So it will increase, but not immediately, because normally the installed base which is coming today would get ready for the servicing after some period of operation, which could vary 5 years to 6 years. So for the time being, yes, 500 crores is our own market out of 2,500 crores, and we will be selecting the order. Now on to the export side of it.
Yeah.
Now on the export side of it, that we are very, very, on the export market, we are not targeting anything which is non-GE machines. We are targeting only the GE machines from a boiler's perspective. So it's not an apple-to-apple comparison because we are targeting only the boiler side, which would be around more or less like 450 to 600 crores or something like that. And that to be only for the supply of the spare parts, not all the segments of the services business, like the overhauling, etc. I hope that I have answered your question.
Just to continuation that, this 2,500 crore is a yearly opportunity.
Yes, it's an yearly opportunity, which is an averaged out. Because one plant may get for certain, will do a little bit of an outage for some equipment, then there would be second year, second equipment will start coming. So it's an average. It's not like you just take it as particular one unit divided by the number of megawatts and all this stuff. So it's a general average which comes out.
And for GE...
Sunil, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn.
Continuation of what was answered. And the GE assets of 500 crore, you will be the sole serving the company.
Sunilji, I would refrain from answering these stuff because it's a dynamic market. Yes, we have got a good grip on our own assets and we would defend it. Keep defending our fleets.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rishikesh Shah from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Hope I am audible. Hi.
Yes, please go ahead.
Congrats on a great set of numbers. Sir, mostly all my questions are answered. I just one question. The cash that we have on our balance sheet, so what is our plan for that cash? Because our company will be growing 5% or something, we will not be requiring that kind of working capital. So what do we plan to do?
Okay, so Rishikesh ji, yes, the observation is right. And as if you would have been following our company for last few years, we have passed through a very difficult time and we are now standing onto this. So we would like to get more towards our sustainability perspective. And as Ashish has said, that we are moving quarter by quarter. So yes, we would be coming out how we would move ahead to make our next quarter and the next strategy more stronger in line with what we have already decided on what we have tested and it is working.
Okay, got it. And sir, one more question regarding the margins. Like you said that 60% will be service going to almost 100%. So don't you think that we'll have better margins going forward?
So let me take that. So again, just a correction. So I said 60% for the next 2 years going to 80%, not 100%. Number one. Number two, typically, yes, core services margins are higher than the upgrades. We are getting a healthier backlog now because we are our volume from core services is increasing. So fundamentally, directionally, I would agree. But like I said, we are targeting for a double-digit normalized EBITDA this year, and we will continue to work on our costs and we will continue to work on our pricing. But the market remains dynamic. That's why we are refraining from any, sky commitments at this point.
Okay. And
thank you. Rishikesh, please rejoin the queue as we have other participants. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ramakrishnan V from Equity Intelligence. Please go ahead.
Sir, how many employees will be in the company after all this restructuring? And what is the average of our turnover on a quarterly basis will be around 300 to 320 crores? Is that right?
So maybe I can take that one. So thank you, Mr. Ramakrishnan. So firstly, we have not announced any restructuring. I just want to clarify that. We have not announced any restructuring in this company. So, yeah. So,
But you are selling off that to JSPL, na? So Jindal,
okay.
You are
so
selling your business.
Now it is clear. Now it is clear. Yes, you are right. Yes, so there are around 170 employees in the perimeter of the transaction. So currently the number of headcount in the company is around 600, and so you can make the math. I missed the second question. What was that? One was on employee headcount, and then two on the average quarterly turnover, right?
Yeah.
So that your guess is right. We expect between 300 to 350 as the average range quarterly top line.
And you will be sourcing all this equipment for the upgradation of the boiler and all that from the JSW where you are sold.
So it would go like this. We have signed a multi-year agreement, 5 years agreement with JSW Energy as part of the demerger. So we would have access for both boiler and mill components for 5 years in a phase-by-phase manner. So it would be in the declining manner while we have the time to develop our own supply chain, alternate supply chain to the factory. So we would have the access so that we continue to serve our market, we continue to serve our customers and have sufficient time to develop an alternate supply chain. But that will not be a permanent, solution. So we would work on alternate supply chain as well.
So you will be outsourcing all the equipment, so rather than manufacturing yourself, and you will be focusing only on the service.
No, I think I would like to answer it right. We have got a very prudent make or buy policy stuff, and yes, as we stand with our assets or our footprint, we will take the relevant calls, taking care of the specific project or the specific equipment which needs to be delivered or something like that.
Okay.
And
since
we are on this topic, I just want to kind of reiterate and remind all the investors and everyone on the call that the demerger transaction is a code-driven process, and all of this would only become active once we have the NCLT approval. So there are toll gates which we have to cross. We are working towards it, and post that, all the answers that we have given in respect to this demerger transaction become effective only after the NCLT approvals that we are working towards very actively along with JSW.
Oh, thanks. And all the very best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sorry, your line is not good. We missed the name and
Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cent.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up opportunity. Sir, when do we expect this NCLT? How long will it take to get to a decision?
This is very difficult to answer, Mr. Mehul, honestly, because there are many toll gates in that NCLT is the last step. But before that, there are other toll gates. So it is very difficult to answer. Our expectation is that within the calendar year 2026, we should get it. That is our expectation at this point. But it is a very, because there are multiple government authorities, banking institutions, there are a lot of external parties involved in it. So difficult to kind of pinpoint, but our expectation is that within the calendar year 2026 we will get it. More towards the later part of the year.
Right, sir. And sir, can you just elaborate on the what you mentioned about your 1-5 year contract?
So that was not one. So I said, as part of the transaction, what we have done is to make sure that we have continuity in the boiler spare part orders that we serve and boiler market in the country on the coast side that we have and on the upgrade side. we have signed a multi-year supply agreement with JSW Energy. That is a part of the transaction itself, which, and under that agreement, we have access to the factory for 5 years, where it would be a simple arm's length, kind of transaction with JSW, that the equipment that we get manufactured today in Durgapur, we can get it tomorrow as well, post the demerger's effectiveness also. So that is what we have unlocked through this agreement, so that we have continuity and we serve our customers in the same way as we are serving today.
Thank you.
Right, sir.
We'll take our next question from the line of Nikhil from Toro Wealth Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the follow-up. Just wanted to probably get your sense around nuclear, although you have mentioned that you're not actively looking, but recently we have seen a lot of thrust with respect to government on the privatizing this sector. A lot of couple of private is already winning some sort of equipment with respect to that. So isn't it a new lever that especially a company like ours can lever the kind of background and the parentage that we have and try to increase our TAM, which probably seems to be okay for now, considering that we are only focusing on core services now. And in the export also, you mentioned that it is just 450 to 600 crores. So I'm just trying to think the kind of balance sheet we have and the kind of cash that we have on the balance sheet, we should be probably growing at much higher rates, probably rather than just mid-single digits or say double digits.
So Nikhil, point understood, but I would like to remind you and all the investors on this call that we took a prudent change in our strategy last year, wherein we got into the short cycle projects, and none of the nuclear projects are short cycle. They range even the start of the first electron to come out of the grid would take more or less like 7 to 8 years. Which is at this point of time, this is a market which we are not focusing at. So we would still believe that the strategy under which we are working should move strongly. And as we see the momentum, they have started building it up. So far, nuclear is not the area wherein we are focusing. Having said, it is coming out of the prudence which we have done last year and moving
ahead. Got it. So
thank
so just
you.
Probably,
Nikhil, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn.
I just had one question. My second question is pending. So, yeah. So, thank you. So, just trying to clarify, you said that we'll be growing probably say mid-single digits, but that is on the overall revenue because our other than the core will try to be like the base will keep reducing and that is why, but optically it will look like a mid single digit, but the services will keep on growing. That is what probably is the correct understanding to understand
that is,
how we will.
That is a fair assessment, Nikhil.
Yeah, got it. So what you meant is the overall company level
yes,
growth.
What I said was overall GE Power India Limited as a company's top line.
Got it. Because the core services will grow at higher rates maybe, and as and when the share increases, maybe the margin also could be trending higher, which is logical also, yeah.
Thank you so much. Next question is from the line of Aman Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the follow-up. I just had on the steam turbine upgrade opportunity. Sir, we will not be focusing or we'll be focusing very less on the new opportunities on steam turbine upgrades, because it would also fit with our overall theme of making the existing plants much better. So we'll not be focusing on that opportunity?
No, that's not what you have understood, Aman. I'll just give you a little bit of a background that the Central Electricity Authority has already identified about 200 plus units which are going for the upgrades and the renovation, amounting to more or less like 70 gigawatts or so, out of which 1 gigawatt has already been ordered and your company is delivering that, which is Panagori and Kukai, Panagori and Vindhyachal. So we have seen the movement which are happening so far into this domain, and company is also active in that. We have seen that apart from the steam turbine, the boiler management systems are also coming up. about more or less like 1 gigawatt. Turbines are still, the RFQs for which are getting prepared is more or less again one gigawatt or so. And in addition to all these things, I would like to emphasize onto this that this would also give a sort of play to us on our core business moving forward once these new units have been installed. So, of course, they are not out of our sight. We are fully focused on that, and we are fully working. Your company is fully working on that.
So, for manufacturing for this, will we be using the Durgapur facility, or there will be a different facility?
We work with a global ecosystem, and we would be, again, as I said in my one of the earlier answers, we take a very, very relevant call at that point of our time for a specific product, for a specific commodity, or a specific component, make by whatever works out to be best. It's not only the cost, it's also the schedule.
So just on the follow-up, so on this, like, so this can increase our growth rates of what we said of 5 to 8% range if we get a big order on steam turbine side upgrade, because they are,
yes,
high ticket. Yeah.
If it comes, yes, you're right, it will definitely.
Yeah, but just on this turbine upgrade, you know, these are typically long gestation projects. One, long gestation from a commercial standpoint, and also once it is booked, these are not like core services projects where, you know, within a year you have maybe around 40% book to bill. You convert 40% of orders into revenue the same year. These typically take, you know, 3 to 4 years until commissioning. So these are long-term projects. So we have to keep that in mind, you know, when we kind of think about turbine upgrades.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All right.
Next question is from the line of Premal Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen, and congratulations for a superb set of numbers. I specifically have one question, is that the provisions that you have made for the Durgapur factory over the last 9 months, those are going to be reversed as and when the transaction takes place. Is that right? Is my understanding correct?
Principally, yes, not one-to-one, so it's not that exactly, you know, the same would get reversed, but in principle, these are, you know, discontinued operation, and the appointed date, which is set, is 1st July 2025, as per the demerger scheme. So, not 9 months, but yes, anything after 1st July 2025, if and when this demerger gets approved by NCLT and becomes effective, the economic benefits and burden should transfer.
Okay, yeah, that's about it, because that amount is quite substantial. It's almost more than 50 crores.
Yeah, but that's for 9 months.
The labor cost.
I would just caution that it's like for 9 months.
Yeah. That's something. Yeah. Okay. I think that's about it. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vaibhav Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Vaibhav Kumar, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Since there is no response, we'll move on to the next question from the line of Sunny Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Sunny, please go ahead with your question. I'm sorry, his line is disconnected. The next question is from the line of Smith Shah from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, on the upgrade orders that you mentioned that we are not completely defocusing from there. So can you just quantify, like, in the next 1 or 2 years, where can this upgrade related order book can be?
So we are fully focused on the upgrades. By the way, it's not the selective. We would be selective on the solutioning part of it. But yes, the upgrade is in our full focus today. The discussions, the end customers which are working onto this are both combination of central and the state side. We have not seen a lot on the IPP side, and reason being because IPPs have been the ones which have been, which are very recent in terms of their installation. So normally these upgrades starts coming into the picture once they have consumed a considerable life of the asset. So yes, it's a, at this point of time, it's a central and the state utility.
Okay, and where do you see the debtor days and the creditor days settling? Because right now it seems like it's too high.
The debtors, I would say days are reducing, you know, every quarter, and we expect the trend to continue. So we expect for the next 2 quarters at least, we would see, we'll continue to see that reduction before it kind of normalizes. 2 to 3 quarters, I would say, and then it would normalize, you know, after that. And creditors would remain also in the, for the next 2 quarters as we continue. We're in the fag end of the FGD project, and the amount of retentions of the creditors that we are going to pay. So that, you know, would reduce the overall creditors numbers also, but at the same time, the creditors days also, and it would also normalize after 2 to 3 quarters is the expectation.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
One last question.
Smith, I request you to join back, please.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take our last question from the line of Sanisha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Actually, I got disconnected in between, so I might be repetitive in my questions. Please excuse me for that. So what I can see is in terms of this particular quarter, as against 401 crores, the profit before tax and before exceptional is coming to around 131. And that translates roughly to around 30% as compared to, say, in the previous quarter being close to around 15%. So, how do we look at it as a normalized way? Would this figure be close to 30%? It could reduce, or because from what I understand, previously there had been a statement from the management in terms of a decision that, you know, the high, you know, we're going in the asset light model and we are going in the higher margin bracket orders. So that we make more money for the, you know, in terms of ROI. So how do we look at it as a ballpark? Where do we see this settling? Because this 30%, compared to the previous being around in the range of 10 to 15%, this looks too good to be true. But can we consider it as a normalized, or it has some one-offs because of which is happening? Could you just throw some light on it?
Yeah. No. So actually, there were a lot of questions on this particular aspect, and I would just try to summarize it for you.
Sure.
So there are certain one-off items in this quarter. We talked about the most significant ones. We talked about 3 items, which totaled to 84 crores. Okay.
Okay.
And okay. We said this normalized EBITDA for the quarter. I said, of course, everyone has their own way of calling out the normalized. There is no standard definition of normalized, but the range is around 14 to 15% on normalized EBITDA for the quarter, and for 9 months is around 10%. That's our call out, excluding these one-offs that we talked about.
Right.
So that's where we stand today. We expect that we are on track for this double digit EBITDA story for the core year and going forward as well.
Right. So second question is in respect of the bail settlement. How much amount is yet to be received, and is there any tentative timeline, and if any other settlements which are to be received other than BHEL?
So all the significant settlements, I think we are very prudent in providing the information through investors presentation as well as through notes to accounts and the financial. So all the key settlements, if any, are a part of it. So what there is no significant settlement or key settlement other than what is already mentioned in the financial results plus the investors presentation. On your question of how much is yet to come, around 120 crores, 120 to 125 crores is what
this is as of date or from the quarter end? Sorry to interrupt.
From the reporting date, we collected around 200. Yeah, we collected around 216 crores as on reporting date. The 11th is when we reported our financials. And around 124 or 125 crores is what we expect further to come in the month of February and March. So within this financial year, we will we expect around 340 crores in total to collect from BHL.
That's a significant achievement. All right. And you have you know, some discontinued operations for which, you know, there's losses yet to be accounted. When do we see it phasing out?
So loss is already accounted, not yet to be accounted. It is already accounted in the financials. And these discontinued operation is on account of the demerger transaction that we announced on 18th of September.
Right.
And this, we discussed this also. So again, I'll just summarize. So I said the demerger transaction is expected to be closed within 2026, more towards later half of the year, or maybe last quarter of the year. But all of this is subject to multiple toll gates, including but not limited to NCLT approvals. And the demerger scheme will become effective only after that, and this discontinued operation will be carved out from our financial post that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Puneet for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, all the investors, for your interest into our investor call. Hopefully we would have been able to give you a lot of information and satisfy your questions. In case you still have, reach out to us. We'll try to support you on those queries. And I would like to reiterate only one information as we close, that we remain disciplined, selective, margin focused, and execution conscious as we march ahead with the strong footing and the momentum which we have built so far for the future. Thank you all. Thank you for your time. Good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of GE Power India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.